Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about the really strong day for Tesla stock. We've also got a really interesting report about Volkswagen Group CEO Herbert Diess and Tesla, a Shanghai Model Y teardown as Danny Munro continues the same with the VW ID4, and a couple other stories as well. So getting into the stock, Tesla today had its best day in over a month, finishing up 8.6% to $762.32, rising steadily throughout the day, while also being the highest volume day for Tesla in over a month at about 44 million shares, trading hands quite a bit higher than the 20-some million that we were seeing at the tail end of last week, even though last week was the first week following the delivery report. Sure seems like a lot of times it takes the market about a week to kind of understand and react to things like that from Tesla. Following today's trading, Tesla stock has now returned to positive year-to-date. Tesla closed last year at $705.67, so now up about 8.0% on the year. That does still trail a little bit behind the NASDAQ, which is up 8.6% year-to-date, after a pretty decent day today, up just over 1%. Credit Suisse analyst Dan Levy did chime in on the stock today. He has a neutral rating on the stock and an $800 price target, which he's reiterated, but he is expecting a Q1 earnings beat, so he's forecasting 85 cents earnings per share versus a consensus at 71 cents, but he expects some of that upside to be through regulatory credits, which to everybody are kind of a mystery, especially quarter to quarter. So he said they are positive going to earnings, but the setup is less attractive now that the stock has risen since the delivery report. They're also positive on the ramping up of new production capacity. They think that presents earnings per share upside for the rest of the year, but that the positives there are, quote, somewhat dented by increased EV competition, end quote. And then third, he says that the stock is still heavily driven by investor appetite for terminal value narratives, meaning investors are evaluating Tesla on a long-term time horizon, which is definitely partly true given the high multiples that Tesla carries, but I think also probably less true than what Wall Street expects. I think Tesla's going to grow a lot more quickly, growing into those multiples much sooner. Anyway, Levy argues that higher interest rates and less terminal value focus could dent the stock, which is definitely true, as we've kind of seen play out so far this year. All right, next up here, we've got a fascinating report from Business Insider in Germany. They, according to the research that they have done, have found out that Herbert Diess was actually offered the CEO role at Tesla by Elon Musk back in the summer of 2015. Diess, of course, now serves that role for Volkswagen Group, but at the time he was at BMW. Now, fast forward to today, this looks like a perilous mistake for Diess. Tesla stock has 14x'd in that period of time, while Volkswagen stock only up about 40% since the summer of 15. Apparently this was pretty close to being done. Business Insider says that Diess, quote, had an employment contract from the Americans that was ready to be signed, end quote. 2015 was a really interesting period of time for Tesla. The stock was doing okay, the company was still growing, so Tesla went from about 31,000 vehicles delivered in 2014 to eventually about 51,000 vehicles in 2015, but they were mired down by the production process of the Model X and just not really being able to get that vehicle shipped as quickly as they hoped, and then certainly struggling to get that up to volume production as the Model X was a very unique vehicle. So right around the time this is reported to have happened, Tesla would have been really struggling with the Model X, and they would have had the Model 3 sitting there on the horizon. They would have been pretty far along in the development process. Model 3 was unveiled during March of 16, so about 9 months after this. That was probably a little bit scary to look at when you're having so many problems producing the Model X. So maybe bringing in a stalwart in the automotive industry could have felt like a better move for Elon and for Tesla at that point in time, and clearly Diess was looking to move as he went from BMW to Volkswagen. So, like I said, fascinating stuff here, but probably not all that terribly surprising for something like this to have been considered for those that have listened to Elon Musk closely. He talks a lot about how he doesn't really want to be CEO. He would more prefer to be chief engineer or chief product officer. There's even a contingency for this exactly in the CEO compensation plan. It says that he has to remain as Tesla CEO or serve as both executive chairman and chief product officer. So it leaves the door open for Elon Musk to still earn that compensation plan while not actually being CEO. That's very intentional. Now, of course, his settlement with the SEC put a bit of a wrinkle into that because he had to step down as executive chairman, though that was only required for 3 years. So somehow already, it's almost been 3 years. In September or October, Elon could regain that title. But at least 2.5 years ago, Elon said when this point in time came, Tesla would just retire that title altogether. At any rate, I'm sure Elon is happy with how things have worked out. Certainly as a Tesla shareholder, I am happy with how things have worked out. Not a knock on Diess, and certainly he's pushing things in the right direction. He's willing to be a little bit more aggressive than what we've seen from other executives. I'm sure Tesla still would have done well. Sure, Elon still would have been heavily involved, but I think you lose a little bit during this period of time for Tesla without Elon solely there at the top. Now, it's possible that's wrong. Maybe having Deese would open up some more time for Musk to come up with some other things. Maybe Tesla's service and communications, everybody's favorite panel gaps, maybe some of these things improve. But I think what it boils down to is if you could roll the dice again, you probably wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. As for the future, again, I think Musk is happy with how things have gone. I think he's really excited about where Tesla is at. Right now, he said as much. And on the Q4 earnings call, Tesla's most recent, he said there are a lot of things that he's still excited about doing with Tesla. And quote, I do expect to be running the company for several years into the future. End quote. All right, so while we're on the topic of Elon here, let's revisit the tweet going to the moon very soon that we had talked about yesterday. Definitely seems like Occam's razor applies here, and this seems SpaceX related, unsurprisingly. Space technology company Astrobotic today announced that they have selected SpaceX and the Falcon Heavy for the launch of their $430 million lunar lander program targeted for late 2023. Astrobotic strengthening that tie by quote tweeting Elon Musk's moon tweet and replying with a celebratory GIF, or GIF if you want to be technically correct, but still obviously wrong. Anyway, these are clearly connected, but I suppose feel free to keep the multiple meaning theories going if you'd like. Next here we've got a little bit of information about the Shanghai-made Model Y. An automotive firm in China has now completed a teardown of a made-in-China Model Y. They talk, of course, about advantages that we've discussed in the past, like the rear casting, but what was most interesting to me was they say that only about 25% of parts are common between this Model Y and the Model 3. Tesla had previously said that they expected the Model 3 and the Model Y to share about 75% of parts. Comparisons like this are a little bit tricky, though, because we don't know exactly which Model 3 this firm was comparing to, and the Model 3 obviously evolves over time, so that could be part of the difference. The other would be how you're categorizing a part. So like if you're comparing the rear casting of the Model Y as just one part compared to, what, 70 parts or something like that on the Model 3, your percent changes are going to be different depending on how you're classifying those things. So I'd be pretty surprised if it is 25%. If it were that low, though, I think that would indicate just how quickly Tesla is iterating. If that much is different from what Tesla had originally said of about 75%, that shows how much change there's been between the Model 3 and the Model Y. But again, I think it's probably higher than that number. We'll talk more about teardowns here in a second, but since we have brought up the Model 3, Motor Trend has published their list of best compact luxury sedans to buy in 2021, and topping that list is the Tesla Model 3. Motor Trend gave the Model 3 a score of 8.8 out of 10, narrowly edging out the Audi A4 at 8.7, and the Genesis G70 at 8.6. Interestingly, in that score, Motor Trend provides four subcategories, one of which is tech and innovation, and that's actually Tesla's lowest score of any of the categories, at a 7.8 here for the Model 3. And even stranger, that's a full point below the Audi A4, which is in second place on the overall rankings, at 8.8 for tech and innovation. So not sure exactly what's going on with those subcategory rankings. They also don't add up to be the total overall score, but I just kind of found that interesting and confusing when comparing these. All right, next here we've got a couple of quick takeaways from Sandy Monroe's ongoing teardown of the VW ID.4. He's published the next two episodes, first taking a look under the hood and then hoisting the vehicle up, taking a look at the suspension. So Monroe had a Model 3 there they were kind of comparing it with, not necessarily the most comparable vehicles, probably closer to the Model Y here for the ID.4, but for the things he's looking at here, Model 3 works fine. So starting off with the frunk, obviously a stark difference here. Really no front trunk for the VW ID.4. About what they saw under the hood, Monroe kind of summarized it by saying, quote, we were a little bit dismayed, end quote. He said they found lots of road-hugging weight that he couldn't understand, pointed out the steel hood versus what Tesla's using there and a lot of other automakers are moving to is aluminum, which is obviously a bit more costly up front, but provides weight savings that can then come back, make the vehicle more efficient, perhaps save in terms of the battery capacity that you're putting in. Obviously the hood alone, not the end of the world, just pointing out how these design decisions are related. Anyway, Monroe spent a fair amount of time on that and some of the bracing in place for the hood, which I guess is focused on a little bit more in European design for safety of pedestrians in case there is a collision. The hood's got a little bit more of a give there, and we have seen Tesla do a little bit more poorly on actual pedestrian safety tests, but Tesla obviously trying to add a lot more safety there before a collision with their vision system. Anyway, moving on to the suspension systems, Monroe was definitely happier with Tesla's setup than what he's seeing here on the VW, which he said looked relatively commonplace for a less expensive car, whereas Tesla's setup was more comparable to what you might find in a BMW. Quote, I thought they'd have something that would compete with the Tesla because these cars are priced pretty much the same, and quite frankly, from a performance standpoint, they should be able to give you the same value as what you're getting out of a Tesla. But this one doesn't go as far, it doesn't have as far of range, and I'm kind of surprised because we're not getting that same kind of BMW look in the front end, end quote. They're talking about the front end suspension. So we'll continue to keep an eye on this as this teardown continues. Not the most positive comments here from Monroe in these couple of episodes, definitely less positive than the walkaround episode. To be fair, I do want to point out that in the YouTube comments on the suspension video, a couple people did note that if viewed through the lens of this being a platform for VW, which it is, the MEB platform, some of the design decisions might make a little bit more sense. So maybe Monroe will see that and talk about that in future episodes. Obviously, there are different pros and cons with that type of decision. All right, last couple of things here. First, on the Spanish EV credits that we talked about yesterday, this does have a cap in terms of pricing, and it looks like that's been set at 45,000 euros prior to value-added tax or 54,450 euros after value-added tax, which I believe, looking at Tesla's website for the Spanish version, means that both the standard range Model 3 and the long range Model 3 should be eligible for the 7,000 euro credit, although it does look like the performance Model 3 would not. It also looks to me like that full credit would require the trade-in of an older vehicle, though I believe there's still some credit, even if you don't have that trade-in. And finally, plug-in hybrids are eligible for lesser credits as well, reducing some of that pool of money for full BEVs. On that topic, Reuters reported yesterday that draft green finance regulations in Europe, so just proposals here, could ban manufacturers from labeling plug-in hybrids as quote-unquote sustainable investments beyond 2025. Reuters writes, quote, "One study from the International Council on Clean Transportation last September said plug-in hybrid EVs' fuel consumption and CO2 emissions are up to four times the level they are approved for because people do not charge them often enough," end quote. So I think if used properly, plug-in hybrid can be sort of a viable option, but it's a half measure. Clearly this study pointing out that it's often not used properly. I'd be glad to see the industry move away from it, much to the chagrin of legacy automakers. All right, lastly here, a couple things to look ahead to for tomorrow. First, I do plan to post an interview tomorrow. If anything news-wise crazy does happen, I'll probably do a live stream. So we'll see on that. I am excited to get this interview out. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I do expect a lot of the market attention tomorrow to be focused around the Coinbase direct listing. Should be pretty interesting to follow. As I've said in the past, Coinbase is what I've used. It's been pretty simple. I do have a referral link to that down in the description if you do happen to be looking. But that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast. And hopefully I'll see you tomorrow for that interview episode. Until then, thank you.